Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Siakam the slam!
Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for joining us. We're excited. We've been working on this for a little while. And CJ Miles, CJ Kilometers, as some of you might know him, Raptor fans, it's here,
I've
man.
Heard it in a while.
Here we are. Yeah, well, probably since the last time I talked to you. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Fantastic, man. This is it's going to be fun. Like, I'm excited to do this. It came about in a very fun and organic way, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but it's just a fantastic thing to be able to talk basketball with a fan base that's really knowledgeable and really wants to know.
And they love you around here. And the aspect of how this happened, I think it is unique, because I think people are probably looking at this and they're like, how the hell did this happen? Why did this happen? So go ahead, tell people how we got here, and I'll fill in any gaps that might inform people a little bit.
It's really not even a long story. It just happened, and none of this is really a long story. So
yeah,
it's the summertime. They're having the runs in LA. People are talking about Scotty Barnes' jump shot on Twitter. I happened to be on Twitter this day, scrolling through, just watching, and I was like watching the clips, and then I think there was a video of maybe a workout out there too,
and they're talking about it. Posted by me, yeah.
Talking about the release. Yes, let's not forget that. Talking about the release and things like that. And I'm just not even paying. I'm just looking at the tweet, not even knowing what's going on. I was like, yeah, it looks good. Like, his release looks smoother. I think that's, I don't remember all I said, but it was something along those lines. And then people start responding to it. I go away, come back, see people responding to it, this, that, and the third. And then next thing you know, me and you are in the text on the phone talking about just doing an episode or interview about basketball in general, some shooting stuff, some whatever. And we get on there and talk for, I don't know how long we talk, but we have a really great conversation about it. People like it. We continue to keep our conversation going just because it's a good conversation.
Yeah.
And now we're here. So
yeah,
that's the best I can put it.
I posted the clip of Scotty shooting because, I mean, it's summertime. It was a Friday, I think. And I'm just like, all right, let's post this. And people might find it interesting. And so I'll just go on my merry weekend way. But then I checked back in later on. This is even before you had weighed in on it. I'm just like, oh, geez. Obviously, I mean, I should have realized people would be very curious about developments in his jump shot. And then you reached out. And I was like, man, summertime, kind of light on content right now. Why not? I'll take a shot. I take many shots. I only reveal the ones that actually work. But I take many shots trying to talk to former players and so forth. And I tried. I shot my shot with you. And then, yeah, we had a great conversation. And then later on the summer, I was just thinking about our Raptors content. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, this is something to spice it up a little bit. A little spicy pee. We need a little bit more just to give it some more
caliente.
Yeah, exactly. To give people more reason to like get excited about what we're doing day by day. And we got other reasons, but just something else. And I shot my shot with you. What do you think? Are you still playing basketball? What's going on with you? What do you want to, are you interested in doing some like video podcasting about the Raptors? And you said, yes. And here we are. step by step.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it was real easy. And that was the other thing for me too. Like it felt right. Like it felt organic. It felt easy. We had a good rapport, even in a short time. And it just, you know, let's do it.
So what is Strictly Hoops? What was the vision that you had when I approached you about a show, and we had talked a little bit about, you know, what should it be? How can it be different? And here we are now. We had arrived with the title Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. But what do you think this show is going to be? And tell people what you want it to be.
What it's going to be? I mean, that's pretty much, you know, That's a hard thing to say. What I would like it to be is just one of the things we kept bringing up was like a safe space for the game, like to be able to talk about it honestly and truthfully, to break things down, talk about the players that we like honestly and truthfully without it seeming like an attack or anything, any of the topics on the league and on the game that we both love and the people that are going to tune in love so much, and just give it a space where we can just be honest and have conversation. That was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. And people, I mean, as you have found out too on your own way, that people love you around here. People love Toronto, the Toronto Raptors. People love what you did with the franchise, and they just loved your personality. And that was the first thing that I caught with you, is that you seemed like a very genuine person, just like a very humble, genuine, excited about basketball. And that's why I thought, you know, doing something with you, if you were interested, which, you know, you were, it would just come off as something that isn't fake. It's just going to be about basketball. And I think nowadays, we're going to get to some of this later on, but basketball now, it's entering a space where we're kind of forgetting like what it is about, you know, the fans, the players, the skill, the talent, the game itself. And we want to return it back to that. And we're going to work in Raptor stuff. We're going to get CJ's thoughts on just like trending NBA news from a player's perspective, because things happen in the NBA. We keep on talking about the NBA being 365, 24/7. It is, right? But when things go down, what are players thinking about? And that's where CJ is going to be able to inform us in ways that we just are not going to understand. And then also within the game itself, like X's and O's are going to be there, because we got CJ Miles. He knows more about the game than me. He knows things about the game that I'm never going to know, just like a fan would, because you were an NBA player. You are still a player. You're in the space still, right? And so from there, there's just going to be things that you will know about the human experience as a basketball player that I will never know. And that's why CJ Miles is here, Strictly Hoops. It's going to be so much fun throughout the season. We're going to be here throughout the year, a couple times a month. We'll see how it goes, maybe a little bit more. But in the end, we are talking Toronto Raptors. So I want to get your thoughts. Why was Toronto a unique stop for you in your basketball journey?
Oh, right off the bat, huh?
Yeah.
Well, first, so just about basketball in general, like stepping into that space where that team was going, it was much different than any spaces I had been in. Like Salt Lake, I was in the beginning of a turnaround. Like we were young. My first year, I think we're 41. Don't make the playoffs. Second year, go to the West Conference Finals. Like that team is built. I'm ready for the ground up with that one. Or at least the second ground, because obviously the first ground is Karl Malone, John Stockton, those things. So I'm not going to disrespect that. Then go to Cleveland, smack dead in the middle of a rebuild. All young, still drafting young, like we're figuring it out. Go to Indiana, supposed to be that. Paul George breaks his leg the summer that I signed to go there. And we kind of end up in a middle space of that. We're still decent. We have some good years, the second and third year, but it's not. It seems like that kind of puts a halt because we have to like regroup.
Yeah.
We miss him for the year, have to get him kind of back the second year. You know what I mean? We have to rebuild. So coming into Toronto, it's like a clear shot at winning on the up, headed into it. Really exciting. Kyle and DeMar in capital letters at this point. You know what I mean? Like this is like, it's clear where this is headed. And we get to talk and we talk about a skill that I have and a need that they need. It just felt like a great match to be able to go help and go win.
And when you think about the city itself, the time that you had your family, what was the family takeaway from the time in Toronto?
So that's why I said basketball first. In terms of like life in general, like Toronto will always have this. It's hard to even argue. It might be one of the most special places in my heart to the day I'm gone, because my whole life changed there. Not only did we get to mix that good side of basketball, but like I had my first child there. As everybody knows, she's more famous than I am. People ask about her. They don't ask about me and my wife. They ask about them too before they ask about me. But that also puts a stake in the ground. Like she's from there. And I'm going to make
Canadian.
Sure that
she's Canadian.
Going to make sure she knows that, make sure she understands that, and make sure she gets to go back and forth to see that. Like that's, so we're always going to be apart. Like that's the thing. Like, and it's just a special time, and they treated me so well, the city, the organization, And the way they grasped at something like that, like the birth of a child, yeah. like the way they came around that and it became this thing, like shows the type of values they have also as the people they are.
Can't remember what interaction it was, but we were talking a couple of times and you had mentioned at some point that when you post something on social about the Raptors, things go off in a different way. Not that you're trying to get clicks or follows and stuff like that, but you just happen to notice that if anything Raptors goes down on your timeline, you're just like, wow, a lot of people interacted with this.
No, it's different. I told you it's a yeah. different thing because yeah. I don't like until recently because I've been playing around on Twitter and I live tweeted the game yesterday a little bit, things like that. But I don't tweet a lot. Like I'm off and on of there, but sure. anytime like prime example, we're here because I randomly tweeted one tweet one day and yeah. it turned into this whole thing. Like those people are so supportive of their guys and love basketball so much. Like it circles fast. And then next thing you know, this tweet screenshot it and put on Instagram and I get tagged on Instagram the same day for it. And yeah. it's love. Like, and I appreciate it so much. It's just fun, you know?
You still got CJ's PJs? Are they nearby?
I do have a couple pair still to this day. I wish I had yeah. more. So funny, I traded my truck in the other day. I had to clean it out. I found a script from the commercials in my truck, damn. And that was yeah. pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
We were in preparation for, you know, this happening and some of the graphics and stuff. We were looking around for photos of you with the Raptors, and we found this one that I thought you might like.
I have that picture. That's a funny picture. Yes, I have that picture on my phone too. I like that picture too.
I had never seen it. My coworker Kieran, he's like, "Do you think he'll like it if this is in the intro?" And I'm like, "Oh, geez, look at that."
It's a great shot though. At the same time, like yeah, even though yeah. but it's just a great shot, yeah.
It's like there's a pumpkin.
One of my few dunks actually. I had dunked the ball. It was in Portland. I remember.
Yeah, you had a couple of crams actually on people. I remember you had one on Patrick Patterson. Right when he was with OKC, that was huge. Actually, that was like a dunk on a man.
Yeah. So two things in that game. Russell yeah. Westbrook looks at me after it happens and was like, "What was that?" Like he says this to me in the game. Like you can still do that or whatever he says to me. And then yeah. even funnier story, I get the training camp in for the Raptors. I dunk in one of like the drills, and Kyle Lowry is like, "You can dunk," and I was like, "Look," and I told him, I said, "By the time we reach December, January, halfway through the season, I'm going to yeah. have more dunks than you realize." And he was like, "Yeah, right." And every time, then after that, it became a thing. And then slowly as the season gets going, yeah. things start changing. The way people play you changes. They start running you off the line even more. And I'm like, "I'm going to go dunk the ball. Like, it's going to happen." I just happened to be my birthday when the Ruben Patterson thing happened. Not Ruben Patterson, really? Sorry. Patrick Patterson. Yeah, that was on my birthday. That was on my birthday, actually.
No kidding.
So maybe that's why that happened.
You should have countered to Kyle. I'm like, "Well, when was the last time you dunked? Can you dunk?"
To I'm who? Joking. To Kyle? Yeah. To
yeah.
Kyle,
when he said sure. that. Yeah.
Well, and I mess with him all the time.
Yeah. You and him are boys too. And there will be Raptor players on this from, you know, past, present and so forth. I think a lot of people are curious if there's going to be, you know, interviews on this with guests and so forth. And in the words of Pascal Siakam, yes, sir. There will be.
It will not just be me. Yes, yeah. It will not just be me talking the whole time.
On the current team right now, who are the players that you're closest with? I think people will probably have an idea, but yeah.
I mean, me and Freddie talk religiously. Like, yeah. and this is not to say we sit down and like have a powwow on FaceTime every time, but we stay in contact. And then we get together at some point once or twice throughout the year. Like last year, we went on vacation together. The girls get together. The kids play together. We make sure we just that's my brother. Like we operate like that. OG, I'm still in contact with him. OG's a little different on the scale of when and how far it goes, but like last night we talked for 30-40 minutes after the game, and then we might not talk for 3-4 weeks. It is what it is, like, but that's just, but we're still close. Me and Pascal don't communicate a lot. When we see each other, it's love. Like we have a bond, we have a connection that's forever type thing, but we never talked on, it was never that type of relationship with me and him. We just were good with each other in the gym and in the same space. We were great. And we acknowledged that. And Thaddeus Young actually. We worked out together in Dallas and we're around the same age. So we've been around each other the last couple of summers because he lives up here in Texas in the summertime. So me and him are pretty cool. I know that one, people probably didn't see that one actually.
I actually didn't know that. So there you go.
Yeah. And we played together in Indiana.
You did. Yes. Yeah,
we had
yes,
a year together in with the Pacers. So that's where it starts, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah. And then me and Earl Watson played together.
Okay.
And I know he's not a player, but that's just the thing with that. Me and Earl played together in Utah. And that's like, he was one of the greatest people I ever played with. I loved playing with Earl. He was so good for me, like just mentally and how I approached the game. And just, he did a lot for me in a short period of time.
The amount of players on the Raptors that have mentioned him specifically and how he's helped them develop in different ways, you know, off the court, on the court. You can tell that he's had a great influence on the players.
Mm. Yeah, he's going to be great for a long time, coaching.
Beautiful. All right. So that's the intro, people. In the future, you know, that'll probably be shorter or just, you know, hey, how you doing, CJ? Another one. But we will always start with the segment Trade Thoughts. Trade Thoughts on the Toronto Raptors. And I mean, we're talking today. It's in between the games against the 76ers. Yesterday, the Raptors won in convincing fashion. And we're not going to get too ahead of ourselves because they play tomorrow. And I think this episode will go up before that. And things could change very quickly, right? That's the NBA. That's how it goes. But I wanted to ask you, as a player, do you got a little bit more juice against a team when you play a team that had eliminated you the year before? Do you got a little bit more giddy up when you play them the first time?
So I think it's not like to the point of bloodshed, but it's like it's being acknowledged. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we're gonna step out there, and it's gonna come up. It's not like it's not the only reason we're not extra because it's that, but it's definitely part of just the preparation. Somebody's bringing it up, and we're gonna make sure that we go out there and let them know that hey, we remember. But at the same time, you don't want to throw them everything because we not even 10 games into the season. Or if we are, we're barely 10 games into the season, you know?
It's true. Yeah.
So it's that type of thing, but it's definitely acknowledged.
When we were talking about what we should, you know, discuss off of that game, and I had mentioned to you, like, I wonder what the Raptors are going to do defensively. And he's like, yeah. And you were like, yeah. I mean, we could look at it, but if I know Nicky Nurse, he's not going to show much. He's not going to show too much.
Yeah, just because he's a mastermind. He's plotting. He's already 10 steps ahead of all of us. Yeah. Like he already knows the score of the first round playoff game. but he's definitely gonna tinker. Like that's what he does really well. I think he experiments a lot. Especially when he know he has time to early in the year, different times, different things. Somebody goes down, unfortunately. So like, let's see something we might not have seen with Pascal playing 39 minutes a night. Like, let's see if we can find something to be prepared for this next time. And he's great with that. And there wasn't a lie. I was surprised that Philly played zone, though. I was surprised at that.
Yeah, I mean, they threw a lot of that. They have this coverage that they like to use against Pascal Siakam last year. Is that pack line defense, right, where they got, like, five guys have their foot in the paint. And they use that, I think, a lot last season in the playoffs, essentially to me, because I mean, the Raptors were lacking shooting, you know, Fred was limping. He wasn't too healthy. Gary Trent Jr. was sick and a bit up and down. And then some of the other guys who have improved as 3-point shooters didn't have that comfort in their stroke. Rich Sachua obviously came on towards the second half of the season, but that seemed like a strategy that worked for them, especially in game 6, that second half where we're just like, why haven't the Raptors scored in like 88 minutes? It was a lot of that. It was that coverage that was kind of causing them issues. And I mean, in so many cases last season, you saw Pascal, it was 1-on-5. But this season, it's very, very different, man. The spacing is really nice. And that man, he's different too. I saw you tweeting about it. Go crazy, P.
Very crazy. He's very different.
Yeah. Well, what's different? Tell me.
The first thing is, like, obviously, he's like oozing with confidence.
Yeah.
Like, you see it in everything. Not that he wasn't confident before, but he's like, it's like falling off of him. It's like, I got a little bit to spare. I can hand you some if you need it type thing. And he's just sharp. Like you could tell he feels comfortable in every situation that's being thrown on him, how he's being guarded. It's going to have to be doubles thrown at him. Like it's going to have to be. Like, because we're talking about he's going to get sharper as the year goes.
Yeah.
And he's going to get even better shape. Even though I've never seen him get tired, he's going to get in even better shape than he is right now. And he's going to get, you know, just in a really good rhythm. He's going to see how much his spots are open and how many different situations he can get to. They're going to have to come get him. Because right now, the jump shot is the biggest thing. Like you said, they put five people in the paint. So him being able to make those pull-ups and the things we're talking about, him barking at PJ Tucker the first few possessions of it. Like, that's
he didn't that's stop.
Spicy.
He didn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was doing it nonstop. And then even when I thought he was done, there was a possession where he bumped PJ Tucker under the rim on like a little like a line drive towards the bucket. Uh-huh. And he still gave him like a get off me.
Uh-huh.
Get off
uh-huh.
me. Like, he's still doing uh-huh. it. He's not stopping.
I showed that play to my wife.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I was telling her what was going on. And yeah. I was like, look at this. They were about to show the replay. I was like, come look at this. Because I was we were watching like one game on TV and one on my iPad.
Right. Yeah, he's different this year. His guy, Rico Hines, spoke before the season. And he was saying that he wants Pascal to get a little bit meaner. You know, he's a little bit too nice because some of the stars out there, and he's not wrong with this. You think of some of the greats, they do got a bit of a mean streak to them in a way that is conducive to, you know, just being very confident in yourself on the basketball court. And that interaction with PJ Tucker, all of those, I'm not sure what PJ Tucker did, what he said to him, but he said something that Pascal didn't like, and that got him all kinds of motivated.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it goes back to being from the summer too. Like, I know PJ's out there too. Maybe it has something to do with that, the runs, and maybe they've been getting ready for this. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, but or maybe he just disrespected the fact that Pascal felt disrespected because he backed up off of him or whatever it is. Like, I don't know what. I don't care what it was. I like it. He can say it every night. Tell him to text it to him before every game. Like,
You had said to me the other day that you thought some of Pascal's pull-ups were looking a little Kobe-esque. And then I looked at it a little bit closer and I was like, oh, damn, CJ's right. Yeah, I see it. I definitely see it. What made that kind of trigger for you?
Just going back to the sharpness.
Yeah.
Like his footwork. We all know Kobe was a master of footwork. And we all know, like, and now I think the most person blatant with it after that is now Kyrie. Like, Kyrie is like the mirror of Kobe's footwork in the post, mid-post, and things like that. So it's easy to identify because it's so sharp. Like, it's so – the counters are ready. The counters are effortless. It doesn't take a lot of work. Like, the one we talked about, the step through to the pump fake to the spin back. Like, that was – at one time, only Kobe was doing that in the league. Like, nobody was even close to being to doing that. He did it all the time. Mm. And you see just guys implementing that in that mid-post because we got so far away from the mid-range. So, like, now you have DeMar, Pascal, Kyrie – those are off the top of my head. Those three guys are like
KD,
really,
KD, really
excellent. KD's cheating a little bit because he's 7 foot. But like, okay,
fair enough. Yeah.
but no, still the same. Like, those are just guys off the top of my head that you know it has to be sharp for it to work. And Pascal's got size in that now. The release is higher in those shots.
This is so the gather.
More arc on the ball. Saying, yeah.
The gather, right? And the That's gather. Very the, Kobe-esque.
Yeah, putting people on their heels.
Hmm.
Kind of like hesitating and different timing of the pickup to shoot the ball, like hanging in the middle of it, picking it up early, later. Those type of things are things you only get from going through the fire the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, how can I find more ways? What can make me more creative? So who was the guy that was really creative at doing this? Oh, Kobe got his shot off every time. Let me go check that out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Every time.
Every time. Didn't see him get blocked very often. Yeah, rest in peace. Yeah. He gave a lot to the game. Something else that comes to mind with him, Pascal, is he looks quicker. And I don't know if that's actually fitness, but I wonder if it's actually he's faster with the ball in his hands. You know, because some guys, obviously, like if you're sprinting down the court, you're not going to be as fast with the ball. That's just how most players are. AI would be an exception because it didn't matter. With the ball, without the ball, he was as fast. But now, maybe you disagree. I want you to, you know, weigh in on it, but he seems like more confident with his handle. And so that in that degree, he's able to get downhill faster than he was before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely the biggest thing is we talk about when we work on ball handling, smooth is fast. So it comes from him just sharpening the skill like we're talking about. It's just smoother. So it's more efficient. That's what it is. The movement's more efficient. The setup's more efficient. I don't have to like there's a dribble gone. I don't need a third dribble to get into my move because now my feet and my hands are so good. It takes me one dribble to get to this space to be able to change directions. Before, I might have had to dribble twice before I could go between the legs to go downhill. Like now, I've just learned how to take out less to be more efficient. And that's what one of the things we teach. Like one of the people that are really good at it, one of my friends that teaches Tyler Ralph in Dallas, like, and there's a lot of guys implementing this type of stuff in their drills, is just being smooth. You don't have to boom, 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 boom. It's just being smooth and ready to capitalize.
Yeah. I think a lot of people with Pascal as well, they talk about, you know, superstar. The Raptors won a championship. They had Kawhi Leonard. And you go down the history books, right? Most teams have a guy. And that is a person that they go to in late shot clock situations. That's a person that gets the ball with 20 seconds left, all that kind of stuff. Do you need a superstar to win a championship? Because I think, I mean, when Pascal said he wanted to be top five, he thinks he can be, people were just like, whoa, what? What do you mean? You think you're that guy? And that means that, I mean, he thinks of himself as that guy, or that's where he could get to at some point. But in the end, I mean, with the Raptors and what they're building, I don't know. I mean, do they need a superstar necessarily? Do they need him to be like that kind of a guy? Or can they get away with just being a team such as the 2004 Pistons? A team that just overwhelmed you with size, like from forward down. Their defense was the thing that was their calling card. And then they got the contributions they needed at the right times.
I think, to speak on first, like Pascal being top five and people saying, do you think you could be that guy? The biggest thing, the only reason that's even brought up with him is because most guys are crowned when they come in the league. They're going to be a guy.
Mm.
Like, Pascal was basically the opposite. He's going to be a piece. We're going to develop him. He's going to help us. He's going to be a, you know, he's going to be a, like, nobody saw, except the people that were in the gym, what he could turn into. We knew it right away. When I got there, we were like, he could be anything. He was that athletic, that willing, that he was that moldable. It was just about the time and experience and letting him get there. And if he wanted it, if he wanted to be, which is why he will be top five, because I've seen the evidence of him wanting to be what he is right now, and he's there. So I believe him. Like, that's just me. Obviously, I'm biased a little bit, but I believe him. And then as far as, like, the team, I don't think so. Like, when you look at this team, I think they're – we talked about this once before, just being that guy in the certain moments. So, like, last night, that game, Philly tries to make it a slugfest. There's a couple times they get 15, 16, it turns to 9 and all these things. And then Freddie's like, hold on, makes 2 threes, orchestrates a couple plays. Even the last play that causes the timeout that Scotty Barnes gets the dunk on the baseline from Pascal.
Yeah.
Freddie orchestrates that whole play if you go watch it. Scotty's trying to run up. He's like, no, go stand right there. I got it. Goes to the elbow, waits for the clock to go down a little bit, runs up and sets the screen for Pascal. Pascal gets a straight line because they don't want to switch because they don't want the point guard. Mm-hmm. And he gets to the front of the rim, and now it's just him and Scotty Barnes, his man. And it's an easy dump off. Yeah. And that's strictly because Fred just slowed everybody down, was like, look, I got it. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's and then you have Scotty Barnes, who's going to be able to show, and it's going to be quarters of games that are going to be his. Like, he's going to wreak havoc on both ends. He's going to be making – he's passing the ball extremely well. He's going to be scoring. He's going to be driving. He's going to have post-ups. OG, with the matches he's getting now, like, they're putting smaller guys on him because they're kind of disregarding him. He's running for early post-ups now. There's going to be situations like that. I've seen – we know Chris Boucher can change the game. Precious looks so mobile. That's the biggest thing I've seen with him this year. He looks in so much – not that he was out of shape before, but the shape he's in now and the way he's moving. Like, him going coast to coast, giving people little moves and getting to the rim is like, it's another dynamic.
Yeah. It's like confidence, right? Because he's not thinking as much. He's just going because he knows he's making the right decision, as opposed to last season when he wasn't really sure. And in that moment where you're not really sure, seconds are going off, right? Seconds are going off the clock, you know?
And the holes close quick at this level. Everybody's supreme athletes. Like, even the guys that we're dubbing not athletic, is just because the other guys are like, the most supreme athletes of all the time. You know what I mean? Like, so like, we got to think about how fast gaps close and how fast reads have to be.
Yeah.
And which is why you get a lot of young players that are playing too fast, because they realize that and they've never seen it. And they're just like shaking.
Sure. And you made the nice pivot for me here. So I'm going to go to Fred VanVleet right now. I want to get your thoughts on this, because this season he was asked to take a lesser on-ball offensive role. He does still have a role in the offense, and it's integral. Like, if Pascal is the lead singer, Fred's a producer. Like, he's Timbaland, right? Who's like making things happen on the back line, although we don't always see these things happening, but he is that guy. But coming off his first All-Star season, he's getting all kinds of league-wide notoriety as this, you know, 6 foot point guard, undrafted. Look at his story. He's an inspiration, all that kind of stuff. And then he comes into this year and he's told, we're going to make a little bit of a pivot. We're going to have Scottie Barnes have the ball in his hands more. Pascal, his usage is going to come up because, you know, he's becoming that guy, a number one option. And yeah, we need less from you statistically. And we just need you to accept this role for us in a contract year. That's really tough to me. That's really, really hard for a player to wrap their minds around.
So one, it speaks to the trust that they have in each other between Fred and the organization. One thing, because like you said, in that position, a player going into the space that he's in, coming up an all-star, being a contract season, that could be, he could flip a desk over for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could go the other way. We've seen it go the other way. It could definitely go the other way, but it speaks on the relationship they have. One. Two, it also speaks on what they think his truest value is to that team. They don't think it's only just numbers, which is why I don't think it affects when they get to the negotiating table. Because also winning cures everything. So him doing what he does, like we talked about last night, his fingerprints on the end of that game, him doing that is his real value right now, his truest value. And then the opportunities will come. They'll go double Pascal in game three, and he'll make six threes that game. You know what I mean? But right now, like, he's orchestrating, he's defending, which is what I think he does really, really well. And I think people talk about his hands, but I don't think they talk about him really just being a very solid defender on the ball. Sure. And he takes on a lot of beating with bigger guys thinking they can punk him a little bit, and he doesn't take it.
His hands are strong, though, bro. Hands are ridiculous.
Quick, strong. If he gets his fingers on it, it's popping out of there. Yeah. Like, that's I mean, he needs that. That's a strength he had to cultivate. But I think he just brings so much to the table besides what I – so don't want the fans to get caught up in that numbers game we like to play when we watch, where you just stack the stat line. It's like, oh, we lost five games. Well, Freddie's only averaged 13 through these five games.
Yeah.
Like, let's not do that. Like, let's not judge the value. And that's for anybody, but especially when we're just talking about him right now. So let's not do that and try to say that's the value. Like, because if we like to do that, we like to watch games. And if we don't catch them, see, you got to throw all these things together to say why things are happening. Well, he's only averaged this and he missed three threes in a row that game. Like, those plays are not the grand scheme of things.
Is it hard for a player to get around that? I mean, even if the front office is saying that we're going to take care of you, or even like say he's not.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Actually playing on the Raptors, right? And he doesn't know the culture. He doesn't know the identity. He hasn't been in the organization like that, because I think that's what we're talking about. When Fred says himself that, you know, I know winning's going to fix everything. That means that to me, that means that there's a hush hush agreement amongst, you know, the Raptors and Fred that you take care of us, we're going to take care of you. You do what we're looking for, which we know you know how to do, you're going to be fine. You're going to get your money. You're going to get all kinds of it because you definitely earned it. But for another player, I mean, like you guys, I don't want to say it like that, but NBA players, they get in to the NBA because of their skill set, because of how good they are. And in a lot of cases, when they do get into a role, in like that starter role, you know, sixth man, seventh man, it's because of their scoring prowess. Maybe the league's a little bit different now, but you come into the league being elite scorers, and a team coming to you saying, do less of that, please. Hard?
So I think it's hard when you don't know yourself. For real, like for real, and don't, and think that's the only value you can bring, then it's hard. Like, if you know what I mean, like if you don't have a real grasp on yourself as a player and can't figure out and can't see the whole team, like the whole picture, which means you probably don't see yourself either if you can't see where you fit in the whole team. So that's when that becomes hard, because then it just becomes strictly about me. And don't get me wrong, this is a job. I understand it. and it, you produce, you make money, especially in that six man type role. That's very hard to be in if somebody comes to you to do that. Like if you haven't played a bunch of years or haven't gained a reputation. So it's a tough space, like especially on the younger side of things. Like Fred has also been to the mountaintop, also knows what it takes to get there, also knows the things that can, like, you know what I mean? So it's a different mindset he has. But like that younger guy that's trying to figure it out, that's a tough space to be in because it's going to bleed over into your approach to the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it might make you less aggressive and then you're not even capitalizing on what you should capitalize on. Or it might make you bitter and you try to overcapitalize. You know what I mean? Like to prove that they shouldn't have did it to you. And it's a tricky space to be in to figure out yourself and team in such a production dominated sport for your living.
Yeah, he does it though. Yeah. Again, like the rapport that he has with Masai, Bobby, the Raptors organization is the prevailing aspect of this. That's why Fred believes that things are going to be just fine. He's going to get his contract and it's going to be hefty and he deserves every single dollar. The ways he impacts the game, it's no different than Kyle Lowry, right? And when Raptor fans on Twitter are saying, you guys don't know how valuable he is when he has a stat line of like 9-4-7, right? But he's like a plus 11 or plus 20, right? It's not something that everyone can wrap their heads around because that's not what we're being trained to view as basketball fans. Numbers are what matter. But Fred, I mean, kudos to him, man. He sees the potential of Scotty Barnes. We'll talk about Scotty Barnes on many occasions throughout the season, not as much today, but a credit to him for accepting this role and being the do-it-all man. Like I said, he's a producer. Pascal, lead singer, he's a producer, and that is not a slight. That means that he is that irreplaceable. You can find lead singers in the NBA in some ways. I'm not saying Pascal is replaceable. I'm not saying that. But
yeah, I understand.
Lead singers are kind of easier to find than like that producer, that guy.
Or you can definitely, you can find guys with the ego of the lead singer. There's plenty of those. You can always find a guy who wants to be the lead singer. Right. Can't always find a guy who wants to be the producer. And we're agreeing. I'm just saying that's a better way to word it a little bit. Like you can always find, there's plenty of guys right now that don't even play that think they're the lead singer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so ego is not a short.
Yeah.
It's not on a short list in the association.
I want to talk a little OG Anunoby. I mentioned him because I think some fans are, they're like, you know, is he more than a 3-and-D guy? Can he be that dude? And we've seen some instances this season where hasn't gone necessarily as well. Don't get me wrong. When it comes to 3-and-D, right? And that is a valuable skill set in the NBA. He is one of the best. I mean, catch and shoot 44%, 40% three-point shooter. The peel switching style the Raptors play, catching rotations, blocking shots, hustling, just working and being versatile defensively. He's like the creme de la creme. Okay. But I'm sure for himself too, he wants to, you know, be more than a 3-and-D guy. He should want that for himself. And there's been some moments this season where, you know, he's getting the ball poked out of his hands. He's approaching those gaps that you mentioned, like Precious Achiuwa, and they're closing up really quickly. And then it's a turnover. But then, you know, yesterday in that 76ers game, there was a possession that he had third quarter, 5 minutes left. He comes off a Scotty Barnes screen and he curls. Joel Embiid's right there. He's patient, dives towards the basket, hits a little floater. That's the progression that we're talking about. And so it's their form. It's going to take time, but I think some fans are sometimes, you know, a little bit impatient.
Yeah. So everybody wants to continue to grow. Like, I think that's, especially he's still younger on the younger side too. Like this is year six. I'm not sure. How old is he? 24?
I think he's 25 now.
25?
Yeah.
So like, and like he's also been in a mix of this, trying to grow with things coming in and out, superstars change, things happening, and still trying to grow within that, but knowing there's it's a real space that you can't get outside of right now. And now you get the chance to turn a corner, you turn it a little bit, and things don't go as, you know, as fast as you want either. And that's the biggest thing, like on both sides. Both of them got to remember that this isn't like an overnight thing. Like we were saying the thing, same thing about Pascal, but like Pascal also had a few more minutes to get ready for his runoff. Like he had a little bit more training to like get thrown into that fire, but he still had to go through it. Like it's just, you know, it's a different approach because he had the ball so much more in his hands.
Yeah.
So it started to pick up a little faster, and that's the thing. Now he is the guy, so now we can't do the same thing with Pascal. He's got to figure it out as the game goes, and it's just about being patient, understanding how to grow within what we're doing in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing, though, just being patient, but also being assertive, stepping in your space when it's there. Like you said, those plays and being patient. I talked to him about that play and just about him understanding the pace of the game and understanding where he's going, what he's doing, and not so being in a rush. Like he's in control.
What did he say when you talked to him about it?
No, we just agreed on it. I just pointed it out to
him. Okay.
It wasn't it wasn't a question thing. We just like this one. And like we're just like that type of thing, like just encouraging him, just trying to make sure he focuses on what he's doing well and how to do it more. Because a lot of times when you're trying to grow, you can only see what I'm not doing. And as long as you look at it that way, you'll only see that. You'll never realize that you made the three plays in a row that you've been working on every day because it's become second nature. So now you're not even looking at it. You're looking at what's next.
Yeah.
Like pay attention to what's going on and what's being presented to you all the time.
Positive affirmation, right? That, being you know, acknowledge the things that you're doing well to make sure that when things aren't going your way, you can at least have that in your backbone that no, but there is progression happening here. And it's going to be different, you know, game to game. Yesterday against the 76ers, it just looked like there were a lot of cases where there was more space for them. And maybe the Raptors help them out with that a little bit, you know, when post-ups, driving towards the basket, they're having some like, you know, weak side actions happening on that side, strong sides, you know, less congested, whatever the case is, but there was just more space for OG to do what he can do. And, you know, the bag right now, it's not the Pascal Siakam bag, which is okay. That's okay because this is a progression, but he does have a few, you know, pet moves that he likes to roll with, the step back, things of that nature. The bully ball, which is obviously very effective because he is 250 pounds. Wow. Solid. Doesn't look it. Solid. So he's got that. So he's got that. And I think it's part of it is just like using what you have, you know, working within your boundaries of yourself. Everyone has different boundaries, but, you know, honing in on that and mastering it, that's going to become, you know, the best version of OG to me. And he's going to get there. I think he will get there. It's just going to need, he needs time and there's going to be the bumps, but I'm excited. And I want to hear more interaction between you and OG though, throughout this.
And you got to remember like, also like, I know we're talking, we get excited and we're talking about like, who's doing what is beginning of the season playing well. We also got to remember that it is only a handful of games, like, which is another thing he's got to remember, like to a player, 5 games can feel like 6 months sometimes just because everything's under everybody's microscopes, like boom, 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 boom. And then you like look back and they do a 20 game clip of your season. And through that 20 games, you might've averaged 16 and 8 and shot 44% from the three, but you're only remembering those 3 or 4 bad moments. It's 82 games in the season before we start the playoffs.
May not even be talking about this version of OG once the season ends, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We won't even remember it.
Yeah.
Except for this conversation.
we'll backtrack it. We'll play it. Let's move to a separate topic that I think you have some feelings about. And it's kind of the ethos of what this show wants to be. You know, the safe space, as you mentioned in the intro. How social media has influenced NBA culture. And there was a clip that you had RT'd on Twitter from Kevin Durant. And he was talking about Russell Westbrook. And he was saying that essentially, you know, it's like the things that are going on with Russ nowadays, like it's ridiculous. Like basketball culture has already been taking a dip, but now the way they're treating my man, former teammate, it's getting a little bit much. It's like getting a little bit beyond what is reasonable. How do you think social media has changed NBA culture?
It's been the greatest gift and curse. I shouldn't say it like that because that makes it very. So it's absolutely wonderful for the growth of the game.
Yeah.
And to be able to spread and people be able to connect and fan bases and even just like kids in other countries being able to get to the footage of because they can't watch games because of time and all the things you've had because of this. But it's also given a lot of people voices to speak on the game or get to people for not the right reasons. And we talked about this. You play bad. This is not about getting criticized for playing bad. You play bad on a famous stage, you're open to criticism. That you sure. know that. And that's not the problem. You could talk to me about basketball all day. You could tell me what I did wrong, what you thought I did wrong, how we could talk about the game. It's like, now we're not talking about the game. We're yeah. just attacking people. And we're just, and then because media is so strong, you keep attacking the guy just for sake of the clicks and the run with it. Not just not to like, this is, you're just doing it. Like, let's make sure we say his name before we, so now we got everybody tuned in.
Yeah.
It's not about, we really wanted to cover this or we really wanted to get on this. Like, that's not the case. Like, what we going to do? Like Russ didn't play last game and the Lakers lost. Like, now what we do? What do we do? Like, yeah. I saw him spill some water on the sideline. Like, I don't know, but like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. just, it's, and that's not just, he's just the one right now, but I think there's just a lot of respect in the game being thrown away on the other side because of that, because now the fans can talk to him like they could do what he's doing on a bad night. And yeah. they get to degrade everything he's done also. And then they start talking about your family. Then they start talking about everything. I'm like, no, like that has nothing to do with anything. The name calling, the whatever. And they were like, well, that's his job. And he should do what he's paid for. And that's the big connect. The big disconnect is the money yeah. thing. Because people automatically assume when you make a lot of money that there's a lot of things that don't matter anymore. Like they
because
they
you're think- fine. Because you're fine.
Because you're fine. Because money is the money. Biggest disconnect is yeah. for people. Everybody wants yeah. money. And there's people that, like, I'm not trying to take this lightly. I understand there's people in situations that couldn't fathom getting to the spaces some guys get even just in a year. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that disconnect is causing a nasty thing.
Yeah.
Because they know everybody's numbers and they see guys reported this much for an extension and this and that. And it's like, oh, they rich. And because in their world, money solves everything.
Yeah.
And from there right now in the space they're in. So like, oh, he's getting, I can say whatever I want to say to him. I can talk about his kids. I can talk about his, like, I'm never going to see him. I'm never going to whatever, like that type of thing. Like, and that's not good for anybody, anything. For him, for the people that's doing it, for the kids yeah. watching it, for the next generation of fans and players. That's a rough space to be in. Like, let's heckling is one thing. I'm fine with that. It's part of the game. It's fun to yeah. see guys interact with fans the fun way.
Sure.
It's fun because you can't get that in any sport. You can't get that close. You can't be that close to the players during the game, during the action to be even able to do that. And that's part of the draw to our game.
Is there a lack of accountability, do you think? I'm not even sure you fixed that. But
you can't,
but it's yeah. kind of it that if anyone can say anything they want on social media, like you can just as how I interacted with you, I messaged you mm-hmm. and you responded. Players can see anything. You send a message. They can look at a text, a tweet, a DM, whatever, and they can absorb that information and they can take it any way they want to, negative, exactly. good, whatever. And some guys are going to take that. Well, other guys mm-hmm. can get past it. Some guys can't. And that just, it's the reason why they're not able to, you know, be the best they can be on a given night. Or maybe it's the reason why they want to leave a certain city or whatever the case is. But the lack of accountability, and like you said, I don't even know what the answer is, but all in our lives, if we're accountable for stuff, like we do perform better. That's how it is. Mm-hmm. If you care mm-hmm. about things, you're accountable. We are told that we can say this, we can say that. We're going to change how we operate, how we approach it. That's not necessarily there with social media.
And it have to be. And also though, like it also baffles me how you could be, say you're like this, you're supposedly, I'll put some air quotations up, the super fan of this team. And you got a guy who 3-4 years ago, we were calling Oscar Robertson of our game.
Yeah.
And he's on your team and he's struggling. And you think the way to get him to help your team is to call him every name that you can call him and talk bad about him as much as you can talk about him, scream the most obscene. You think that's going to help your team? Like, it was like, I'm just passionate about, no, you're blinded by, you're not even looking at it the right way, really. Like, I would try to help him if I wanted my team to win, if I cared about the team. You just realize you have the freedom to say whatever you want and there's no consequence, so you're doing it. You're exercising that right. You're being able to lash out whatever else you got going on this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening. And that's the thing that's crazy about it, because it doesn't even make sense to do it that way if you want your team to win. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't. And then the accountability thing, like you said, we don't have to. It's the internet. Ban my page, I can make another one with no pay, with no picture, no face, no, like, and I can, you know what I mean? I can do whatever I want. And that's the danger of it. But it's also, like I said, there's so much beauty in having that. For me to be able to talk basketball with somebody that really wants to talk basketball that I would never meet.
Yeah.
That's the other side of it.
And I got to be accountable too, myself, because I'm a member of the media and we do have a strong role in this kind of stuff. You know, I know that I've posted things on our IG account as a Raptor, essentially like a Raptor fan account in some ways, where it could be, you know, looking at how poorly the opposing player performed, because we know that negativity is going to click. That's the nature of it. Negativity, like Russell Westbrook getting his 11th straight triple double, isn't going to click as well as, you know, someone making a video of Russell's, you know, jump shot becoming a brick and it hit smashing the glass, or him airballing a free throw. That is going to appeal to a wider audience, right? Not even basketball fans are going to be like, oh, that ball became a brick. That's funny. And that's just it, right? Like, negativity in some ways, unfortunately, it just appeals to a more diverse audience, men, women, different ages. And it's the nature of things. That's kind of evolution, yeah, in some ways. That's
the nature.
How
the nature,
yeah, that's
the
how
word.
It's gone. But I mean, for a player, like, have there been cases in your career where you've seen players get a little bit too, like, invested into social media?
So I got two stories. So the way my social media handles became Mas Fresco is strictly from that. I was on social media the first time when it was popping off, when Twitter came about. I remember when it came about, and I was CJ Miles 34 at this time. I was on it. I jumped on it because it was the new thing, and and I didn't know how to handle it when it got to that space. It started to, like, negatively affect me just because I'm a people person. So, like, I got on there for the excitement of being able to be a people person. And people took advantage of that because they knew I was there. So they started talking and I started to feel it. You know what I mean? And it started to just weigh on me. So, like, I ended up just getting off of social media completely until I figured out, because obviously if that's messed with me, I'm not comfortable enough with myself. So I was like, let me get off of here so I don't even have to hear it, so I can figure this out, just play basketball, do all that. And that's how I end up coming back as Mas Fresco, because I'm like, if I'm going to come back, I'm going to come back with my personality as a person, not just as a basketball page. And, you know, I wanted to showcase all of me if I was going to be there. Nets, that's another story for another time. And then there was a player that I played with when I'm first becoming a veteran. They're bashing him. He is in the height of it. Instagram's firing now. Twitter's firing now. Everything is in. They're killing him. And I remember saying to him, he was younger than me, 19 maybe, get off your phone, man. I wasn't even at the height of what he is, and I just know how it felt. This is why I knew to say this to him, just because I had dealt with it. I'm like, get off your phone, man. Like, that's another voice you don't need. You already fighting your own voice right now. You don't need millions of other voices telling you what you, one, you already know, and they're not going to ever speak from the side of how you can get out of this. They're only going to speak on you're doing bad, because that's what's going to click on there. And it just became a spiral, and it was tough on them. Like, people just came from every direction. They exhausted every avenue they could to make us say that he wasn't going well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it just, it was hard on them. It was a hard, hard time. It was hard to be around because you couldn't even do anything for them. You couldn't help. You couldn't lift them.
And also because you guys are also learning about how social media is impacting you, right? At the same time as all this is happening, because, like, the evolution of it has changed how we all approach, you know, basketball coverage, basketball media. Like, you have people who are now just doing basketball social media now, and that's where it's at now. And so for all of you, you know, day by day, you're learning, like, wow, now people are doing this about players. Now people are doing that about players. Now media are getting a little bit more liberal with how they, you know, approach players, and, like, you know, players that they don't think they're ever going to meet in person, right? It's easier. If you're a beat reporter on a team, you know you're going to see that guy probably every day in, day out. But if you're like a reporter for a national brand, you could actually say that I'm never going to see this player in my life. And if I do, he won't recognize me. Maybe he will, right? If he's that kind of, if a dude has that kind of vendetta, he might. But in most cases, you know, put your hat down, whatever, hood on.
And then at the same time, they know that guy's not gonna come beat him up. Like he's got much more to lose than he's got. You know what I mean? Like me hitting that guy is what we want. It just feeds into what we're already doing. And that's the thing. So the one thing I will say, like, I don't think that it's bad. Like you were talking about the clip on the other, I don't think it's bad to point out what actually happened. I think it's just how we dress it. How we address it. I don't think there's nothing wrong with pointing out a guy's playing well, but like it's like we also should be trying to figure out solutions for it. Like I speak on both sides, like things that maybe there wasn't space for him to be able to do what he usually does. And let's explore that too. Let's not just throw everything at him. Like, and there's nothing wrong with talking, because that's how you get the solution. You point out what's wrong. It's just with this route, we don't ever think about the solution part. And I think that part is what's bringing that negative energy from all over. You never hear about the other side.
Yeah.
And then the people that are talking about it never speak on the other side. So it's just all negative because it's never approached that way. There's nothing wrong with he's 0 for 11. There's nothing wrong with us talking about that. Like, it's not that. That's what I don't want people to think. Like, I'm being soft on people. And because accountability, like we said, he's got to be accountable for what he's doing wrong too, the player. But we got to approach the whole thing to become, because at the end of the day, we want the higher, most significant all-star, superstar version of whatever player in their role. And we don't get that by being negative all the time.
Very real conversation right there.
Yeah, sorry. Hey, you got
it. No, it's okay. No, I appreciate it.
This than is, I thought it would.
No, but this is the nature of the show, right? Is that your perspective on this is just something that I cannot offer, right? Even as we're talking about this stuff and I'm thinking about memes that I've posted, that are actually like, yeah, we were essentially making fun of performance of a player on a different team when they face the Raptors. The Raptors have a great defense. Guy goes 0 for whatever. We have posted that stuff. But now, you mean, talking to you and reflecting more on the state of media, like it just doesn't feel as genuine anymore because it's not even stuff that's not even like my personality that would do stuff like that. But it became the personality of, you know, social media within basketball, within sports. And that's where it's changed. And yeah, it's crazy to know that I know I've made mistakes.
But also there's lighthearted ways to poke fun at things too. There are plays that are bad, but that are funny. We laugh at plays like that. When we watch film, like a coach will know a play that's not going to be in there because it was so bad. And then we'll, at the end of the film session, the coach will put it in just for us to laugh about it and get over it. So you can address it because you know the guy's probably feeling a certain way. And like now we can get over it. Like there's ways to do that. Like with media too, there's ways that it's just that it doesn't always have to be a straight cutthroat attack over and over and over. And that's what's happening a lot now because everybody's media now. So like even a guy with 100 followers says the right wording, it gets to everybody.
Yeah.
And that guy might say the nastiest thing thinking, like you said, nobody's gonna, like my wife ended up on national television because after Draymond Green had kicked like three people between the legs, we were going to play the Nuggets. Going to play the Warriors. And she tweeted just jokingly, I hope Draymond doesn't kick my husband. And they put it and it ended up on national television. And that's funny. Like it was funny. It was, but it's just my point. Like I wouldn't have thought about that if we weren't talking about it, but that happened.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Let's wrap up the episode with in a lighthearted way because we're in that mode at the moment.
That's why I'm glad I thought of that.
Exactly. Worst insult you've heard on the court towards you or someone else? This comes to mind because of the Devin Booker, Klay Thompson interaction the other day. Fans, if you haven't seen it, they were going back and forth. Klay said, I got 4 rings. You have 4 playoff appearances. So that's what got me thinking about it. I mean, it worked. It doesn't have to be good, but it's just like factual. It's like, well, true. Kind of.
Yeah. But that also has nothing to do with what's going on in this moment. Like that's the, like, why do we have to jump all the way to that?
It's the ultimate trump card. You can't say anything back.
I don't have like a crazy insult. Like, I don't think I've heard one that was just like, it's all been like trash talk, just like regular and words that I don't want to get profane and say in a nothing
you can
like
do that here, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, not the actual words, the wording, like the thing that's said, not the actual words, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't think it's ever been that. I just remember there was one when I was in Indiana with David West, and I don't remember the player it was, but I just remember being, I think I was hurt and I was out of this game, and he comes out of the game and he's screaming every time this guy gets the ball from the bench, like a madman. Hell no, 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 no. He's just, yeah, I'm like, it goes on for like minutes, right? And I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, he's trash. I'm like, why are you so angry? He was like, he got drafted before me. He owed me money. Like, because he's been so much better than him since they got drafted. Like, this is the funniest. I'm like, this is why you're at him like this. There's nothing else but that. Like, it's this, that. And it was like, I almost cried behind the bench from hearing him say that. Like, he was like, he's so terrible. He's trash. He owed me some money. He should have never been drafted before me. Like, that type of thing. And it was hilarious. That's like my favorite one that's off the top of the head.
There are so many guys that have done that too, where they can rhyme off. I think Draymond Green did that. There's a few others that come to mind, tip of my tongue, that are able to like recite the 35 guys in order that got drafted before them. That
I'm
is
close.
Really?
I'm close. Yeah. I'm
close. Do you want to do this? Should we do this?
We could try.
What was your draft year again?
05, 2005. I might not get all of them, but I know the guy, like, especially guys of significance in front of me. I know I can't remember 33. I believe 32 was Lou Williams to Philly.
Okay, here you are. 34.
I'm 34. I can't remember 33. Who's 33?
Brandon Bass. I'm remembering.
Brandon Bass. That's a good pick. Yeah. Then there's Lou Will before that.
No, it's Daniel Ewing.
Daniel Ewing. So when is Lou Will?
Lou Will.
31? I know he's around that range. I know we're all both around that range. I know Monte Ellis is later than us, which is crazy.
Lou was 45.
45.
Ellis
Who's before?
Ellis was 40.
See, look, maybe I'm lying. Maybe I don't know. I just remember those guys. But those are my guys too, high school guys. Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking of them. But now, so I think 30 is let's start at the first round. 30 is New York's pick, right? David Lee.
Yes.
28, 29. I lied. I can't remember this now.
It's
because we're on camera. I remember the guys in the draft. I remember like Julius Hodge, Nate Robinson, Gerald Green,
Bunny Hops.
With him. Yeah, like I'm trying to name the guys so maybe I can put them in order. I can't.
You didn't strike me as the kind of guy that would be able to do this, to be honest.
Not the grudgy type, but I just remember the guys. I have to put the pieces up there. I just can't put it in order.
It's okay. Excuse me. Good story. I love those kind of things.
That's a long time ago. Sheesh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, CJ. That's it. That's the episode.
Man.
Strictly Hoops. There you go, people. I hope you all enjoyed that. We will be back. All right. There will be episodes throughout the season. If you have questions for CJ, basketball curiosities, basketball tips, things you're curious about how you could improve your skill set, you're looking to improve in some areas, you want to grow your game, you want to evolve, absolutely. Send it into the hashtag StrictlyFresco. That's the hashtag we're going to use. StrictlyFresco. Hashtag
Fresco. I like it.
Okay. Send that in. I'll tweet it out before episodes. Maybe CJ will too, but put your questions, comments, things you want to know about, put that under that hashtag. And we will talk to you very soon. Subscribe on the ROE podcast platform. That's Raptors Over Everything, future episodes, and on our YouTube, Yahoo Sports Canada. Find us. There's all kinds of Raptor stuff on there. You'll find episodes with us too, other stuff. Raptors scrums, Raptors media availabilities, interviews with other players, hopefully interviews with players on this show too at some point.
For sure.
Closing thoughts. CJ?
I'm going to use my card for sure.
You got the card. I don't have the card. You got the card. Yes. We'll need your help.
Closing thoughts. I'm just looking forward to it, man. I'm just looking forward to the journey of it, to the excitement of, you know, this space. I'm new to it, obviously. But like being able to talk basketball and being able to talk it honestly and getting to cover guys that I know and love and have been around is always is fun. You know what I mean? And just I enjoy working with you, man. It's been great. It's only been a couple times now, but we're gonna have a good time.
You had fun? That was my last question. You had fun?
Great. Fantastic.
See, there we go. Basketball's supposed to be fun. Okay, all everyone. Way. Thank you all for listening. Take care. Talk to you again.
Peace.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.